Okay, so the my share, at least, we started the sixth perek, and we spent quite a lot of time on the machloket between the Baitusim and the rabbinates about Svirat HaOmer. The Baitusim being convinced that Mimacharat HaShabbat means the day after Sunday, the Sunday, which again is the either Sunday of Chol HaMoed or the Sunday after Pesach, potentially, right? If Pesach starts on a Sunday, so then, etc. What I want to do is try to understand this at different levels. This may be 1 week, maybe two. I don't really know. We'll see how it goes. There are two things I want to do. One is I want to try to understand these Baitusim in at least in the mind of the Agadata. Okay? I need to be very clear. Who the Baitusim were historically is quite unclear. And how they were related to the Sadducees, to the Tzedukim, is unclear. There were so many different sects that existed in the time of Chazal that they're talking about. The Tzedukim and the Baitusim and the Essenes and the Qumranites and the early Christians and all these different groups and everything that's going on. It's very, very complicated. And academics are not 100% sure that the Baitusim, that everything Chazal say about the Baitusim is about the Baitusim. That's not my issue. My issue is to understand who these people are, that how Chazal conceptualized their debate with this group of sectarians of these Baitusim. Okay, so I make no claims right now as to whether these are the historical Baitusim or not. They're clearly related to some anti-rabbinic sectarian group, and there's probably some similarities, but as we know, in Agadata, often what you get is an ideal construct, right, that captures maybe, right, it could be that these Baitusim are a lot of groups that Chazal are talking about. So what I want to do is both understand who these groups are in the eyes of Chazal. That's the first thing I want to do. And the second thing I want to do is try to understand, if we can, why this machloket was so important to them. Or if you don't want to take the historical perspective, you want to take more of the philosophical perspective, right? Without getting to the historical question, but assuming within Chazal's world, why was this machloket for Chazal so symbolic of the differences between the rabbinates and the Tzedukim and the Baitusim? So that's what I want to try to do. Those are my two goals. If we get through in 1 week, great. If we don't, also fine. These are really two separate goals. So let's start with the first thing. Who do Chazal think the Baitusim are, and what do they believe? So it all starts in a Mishnah, in number one. Antignos ish socho. Is this small? Too small? Should I make it bigger? Let's do this. Make it bigger for you. Better? Okay. Antignos ish socho kibel mishimon atzadik. So right at the beginning of Avot, we find out that Antignos, third generation here in Avot, he learns from Shimon HaTzadik. And he says the following, Hu haya omer, Al tiyu ka'avadim ha-mishamshin en-arav al-manat l'kabal pras, Elehevu ka'avadim ha-mishamshin en-arav shelo al-manat l'kabal pras v'imora shamayim aleichem. Don't be like slaves who serve their master to get reward, but be like slaves who serve their master not on condition of getting reward, and may the fear of God be upon you. Or in English, this is probably better translated as, don't serve God as a servant, serve God as a slave. Okay, that's probably a better translation. It's just that the word eved means servant and slave in Hebrew, but in English, those are distinct. So what is Antignos saying? A simple pshat, what is Antignos saying? Is he saying there is no reward? No, he's just saying that shouldn't be your goal. But if you look in the Masechtot Ketanot, specifically Avot de Rabbi Natan, Avot de Rabbi Natan says that it was this Mishnah that created the Tzedukim and the Baitusim. So if you look at number two, this is in the first version. There are two versions of Avot de Rabbi Natan. So in the first version of Avot de Rabbi Natan, which is a slightly post-Chazal work, collects traditions from Chazal and maybe some other things, Antignos ish socho hayu lo shnei talmidim shayu shonin bidvarav. He had two students, two main students. Vayu shonin le talmidim, v'talmidim le talmidim. They had students, students to students, etc. Amdu v'diktiku achareyan. Va'amru ma ra'u avotenu lomar davar zeh. And at some point they said, what drove our teachers to say this statement? Efsher sheyase poel melacha kol hayom v'lo yital scharo arvit? Is it possible for a worker to do work all day and not get paid at night? Ela ilu ha'yodin avotenu sheyesh olam acher v'yesh tamitim lo yomrim kach. He said, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you say, don't work for the reward? What else do you do? They would only say this because they don't really believe in the world to come. Or even stronger, they know there is no world to come. Amdu upershu min ha-Torah. So they left the Torah. V'nifritzu behem shter pirtzo. Stukim u'baytusin. And they divided into two groups. The Tzdukin, the Sadducees, Ubaytusin, the I can't pronounce the English. Bohuthisians or something. The Baytusin, much easier. Tzdukim al shum Tzadok. Tzdukim were the followers of Tzadok. Baytusi al shem Baytus. And what did they do? Because they came to believe that the rabbinic view was there is no Olam Haba, they said, well, what should you do if there's no Olam Haba? Live it up in this world. So they would only use silver and gold, right? Everything was just over the top grandeur, right? If there's only one world, we might as well get the most out of it. And they said, right, it must be that the Prushim, the rabbis, what's their goal? They know there's no Olam Haba, but they get sadistic pleasure out of torturing us in this world. So therefore, forget them, we are going to go and be hedonists. Right? Hedonists, l'chadchila, shebelechadchila. I once had a, I think I mentioned this to some guys, I had a teacher once who, in Rambam, where are my Rambam guys? Bluth, where'd you go? So I told you this about Sinclair, right? That Sinclair still taught calc when I was in Rambam, and someone once asked him, you know, because at some point he came to basically believe in Judaism. So he said, "Why didn't you convert?" And he said, "Because I don't have to, and besides, I'm a hedonist, and you know, Judaism is no religion for hedonists." But eventually, I think he accepted Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach and something like that. Tzaddik of a guy.
Still, I guess, lost hedonism, so...
He was great. But the point is, Judaism is not for hedonists. And the Tzdukin said, oh, those rabbis, they just want to prevent you from enjoying the world. If we don't believe in Olam Haba, we're just going to live it up in this one. That's the version that is told in the first version of Avot Derabbi Natan. In the second version of Avot Derabbi Natan, you get a little bit of a different story. Shtei talmidim hayu lo, tzaduk ubaytus. He had two students. V'kemen shamur adavar hazeh shanu l'talmideihem. They taught it to their students. V'atavinem amru davar mipi rabban v'lamru perusho. But they didn't explain it. Amru lahen, they said, ilo yitem yodin shetchera meitem matan scharan shal tzadikim lavata yomrim kein. If they knew there was a reward in the world to come, would they encourage you to work not for reward? Halchu pershu lahen, v'yatsu men shtei mishpachot. So this is one slight difference, is that in this version, it's not two groups of students, it's actually two families. Right, that these, the core are actually the families of Tzadok and Baitos. I don't know if it makes a difference, but in this version, they're a family. Utztukim l'shem Tzadok u'baitos im l'shem Baitos. Al tiu kavadim mishamshin and arav al minat lekab. Oh, come on. Al tiu kavadim mishamshin and arav. What just happened there? Al minat lekab al pras. Bidinu shamru mitzat tzchara tzadikim ba'olam hazeh. So he said, he could have said logically it differently. He could have said that there is some reward for the tzaddikim in this world, but he was worried about how that would sound to people who weren't such bali emuna. Right, and maybe they would say, well, where's my reward or something like that? So they just, you know, his statement was, don't do it for the reward, so you don't think about it. Okay. The mashal is as follows. Oseh ratzon rabo, vilibo gas ratzon rabo, adam oseh ratzon aviv, vilibo gas ratzon aviv. Lo dome zeshu ose me'ava lezeshu ose be'ema v'yira. He said, it's the difference essentially between a teacher and a parent. It's the difference between love and fear. Shu ose me'ava nochel chaye olam haba v'zeshu oven be'ema v'yira shu nochel chaye olam hazeh v'nochel chaye olam haba. Said, it's better for the person to do it out of love and not think about reward, because then he'll get this world on the next. If you do it for fear, you don't really, you know, there's something lacking. So you maybe won't get the full Olam Haba. Shekein matzino bavod rishonim sh'avdu be'ema v'yira v'nachlu chaye olam hazeh v'chaye olam haba. Ba'avram u'ma'a omer, and then he goes on the Reuven from Avram. So the, in Avu Darivu Natan, what it clarifies is that clearly that wasn't what it meant. There were reasons why they didn't focus on reward in this world. Either possibility one, because of the dangers of focusing on reward in this world, or two, because they wanted you to serve God me'ava, which is, right, love, which surpasses reward, and not me'ira. Again, I don't want to get too much into it. The point is that it's clear that's not what they meant. They didn't mean there isn't reward. But it was misinterpreted. And again, the way it was understood in Chazal's mind was that the Stukim Baitusim believed there was no reward and therefore went off the Derech and became hedonists. The Rambam, commenting on this, quotes this tradition as well and builds on it a bit. And he says, V'haya lezeh chacham shnei talmidim. Antiknos had two students. Shema echad tzadok v'shema acher baitus. V'kasher shamu sh'amar zeh ha'ma'amar yatzu milfanav. When they heard this, v'amar echad me'en l'sheni, Hine kvar harav kvar be'er b'feirush she'ein sham schar v'la onash ve'ein sham tikva klal. There is no reward, there is no punishment, there is no hope. Ki lo hevinu kavanatam alav ha'shalom. Because they didn't understand what they'd said. V'nitchabru lezeh lezeh, so they got together, u'pershu min ha'Torah and left the Torah. V'itkabza lezeh kat, and each gathered a group behind them. Yikru machachamim tzdukim ubaitusim. Ve'el yod shelo yechul lekabetz ki ilo lefi mashegila min ha'muna. Ki zod ha'muna hara'at ha'frida nikbatzim kol shekin shel gweiz ha'nifradim. Halchu achar imur ha'davar asher lo yechul lachzivo etzel ha'amon. Votziu oto mipiem ayu ne'aragim. Ratzi lomar nusach ha'torah. V'tzir kol achad mehem. He said, they knew they couldn't build a following based on a belief system that solely relied on not believing in Olam Haba and rejecting the rabbis. So what did they do? They said, look, if we reject the Torah, we're not going to get people, because this is a world in which all the groups fundamentally agreed on the Torah. Really, they didn't agree on the Torah. They didn't believe in anything anymore. They were just hedonists. They'd given it all up. They didn't think there was any point in serving God. But they knew they couldn't do that. Or not if they wanted to have followers. So what did they do? They pretended that their real problem was with the Misorah of the rabbis. Shehi Kabbalah Bilti Nechona. They claimed it was a false tradition. Because this way, a lot of halacha and all the derabbanans would fall away. They couldn't get rid of everything and still have followers. So they said, well, what's the best way to minimize restrictions and still get followers within the Jewish community, even though we don't really believe in anything, because we think there's no point? The way to do it is to claim that we just disagree with Chazal. And therefore, they could do whatever they wanted. They could be lenient when they wanted and say that's how they understood the Torah. Be machmir when it fit their goal. Didn't believe in anything. Their goal was just whatever was easier. And then the Rambam in his own time says that this is similar to the group in his time, the Karaites. And okay, so the Rambam adds and he says that he doesn't believe that the real argument that they had was how to understand the Torah. He thinks that this was all a, you know, this was all a joke, right? This was all a cover for them. But really, 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 they just didn't believe in the Torah anymore. They didn't believe there was a point to anything. There's no reward. There's no punishment. What do you want from my life? Right? There's nothing. But they needed a cover story because they still wanted to be Jewish and they still wanted to be part of the Jewish people. So instead they said, okay, we care about Torah Shebichtav. We just think Chazal got it wrong. And this way they could lead to a... And this way they could... lead easier lives when it so fit them. Okay. So that's just the background to who these people are in the minds of Chazal. But now let's see if we can understand why, if this is who the Tzukim Baitusim are, why it is that they pick the particular fights that they do. So I really shouldn't have done this. I'm used to you guys having a Gemara, so...
Gemara is it? Is it Menachos?
What? Yeah. Here. Let me... That share was only on the screen, right? So if I pull up a Gemara, I have to share up a different screen, right? Yeah? I'll just pull up a Gemara. It's not a problem. I should have put it on the sheet, but it's fine. I'll pull up the Gemara. Safari is easy enough to pull up on a computer. Okay. Menacha. Okay. Here we go. So here is, let me get it, and then I'll share a screen. Okay. Let us do this. So, share screen. There we go. Okay, share. Fine. Tanu Rabbanan. Ilein yomaya delo lihit anav bahon, umiktsadin lo nemisbeid bahon. These are the days when you don't fast, and some of them you don't eulogize. Meresh yarcha de nisan at tabnaya bay, from the first day of Nisan until the eighth. Reminder, today is the first of Nisan. Yalav Yavo, Hallel, Rosh Chodesh, Musaf, all that stuff. Remember that? I say this to you as I already forgot to say Yalav Yavo and Mariv.
Oh, so that's why they clear fast today and not Mondays and Thursdays.
That's correct, because it's Nisan. We don't fast in... that's Bidiyuk. They did it today because it's Yom Kippur Katan, when there's still a minhag among some to fast, but you can't do it on you can't do it in Nisan. That's why. Yes, 100%. So itakum tmida delolimisbad umitimnaya beivatzavmoad adotzav chaga deshvua delolimisbad. So what was the reason for this? Because there were two battles against the Baitusim. One was they won the battle about the Tamid, and one is they won the battle about Shavuot. What was the battle? What are these two battles? So, Mireish Yarchal de Nisan, V'atab Naibe Itokum Tmida. From the first to the eighth, they managed to win the battle against the Baitusim about the Tamid. Delol Mitzvot, and therefore they don't eulogize. Sheyut Stukim Omrim, Yochid Mitnadev, Umevi Tamid. The Tztukim held that an individual could bring a Karban Tamid, my drosh, and akeves ha'echad ta'aseh v'boker, ve'akeves ha'sheni ta'aseh ben arbaim. It says it in the singular, ta'aseh. And therefore they said the Tamid doesn't need to be communal, it can be personal. Maya hadru, what did they respond? What did the rabbi say in response? Et karbini lachmi li'ishai, Tishmiru, Shehu Kulan Bain Mitchumar Alishka. It says Tishmiru that it should all come from the Chumar Alishka, and eventually they beat them, and therefore the Tamid was set up as a communal karban. Mitimnaya Bevatsof Moada, Itodu Chagada Shavua, on the eighth, until after Pesach, they won the battle about Shavuot. Because the Baitusim said that it was after Shabbat on Sunday, and Nitbal Henry Yochan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochan Ben Zakkai had a machlokes with them. Amar Lem Shotim, and he says, "Minayin Lachem? How do you know such a thing?" There was one zaken. I don't want to get into the drasha too much because I did that in Shir for 3-4 days. But let's just focus on this machlok with the Baitusim. No one wanted to argue with him until one of them said, and he said, you know why it's on Sunday? Because Vamar Moshe Rabbeinu Ohev Yisrael Haya. Because Moshe loved the Jews. V'odeya Shatzer Yom Echadu. And he knew that Shavuos is only one day. Anyone else have that feeling? That Shavuos, you know, it like, especially in Israel, it's barely a holiday. Right? You know, especially you stay up all night, you go to sleep, you wake up, the day's over, it's done. It's a one-day holiday. It's like Shabbos. Where's your long weekend? Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. Amad v'tikna achar Shabbos kadei shi'yisrael medangin shnei yamim. So he says, you know why it's on a Sunday? Because Moshe wanted the Jews to always have an extra long weekend. That's why. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, you idiot. The Pasuk says that it takes 11 days to get from Chorev to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was such a lover of the Jewish people, he made everything easy. Why did he torture them for 40 years? Amar lo, Rebbe, b'kachata potrani. That's your response. Amar lo, yeah, that's my response. Shote, you're an idiot. V'lote Torah shlema shalanu kesicha b'teila shalachem. What, my Torah, our Torah is not as good as your narishkeit? Yeah, that's my response to you. Okay? So, here's what I want to do. I want to try to understand hashkafically two things. One, we have, you could say that the machloket of the Tztukim and the Baitusim with the rabbin or the rabbis is completely random. Meaning they reject Chazal, and then what they argue about, okay, they argue about. But you could also say that each machloket that they pick, the way the Rambam implies, there's a reason that they picked a fight about that issue. Right? There was something about that issue that made sense in their philosophy. And we can do this in two ways. One is we can say that in each and every issue, they had a particular philosophical problem. Or you can say that there's an overarching philosophy that explains all of their machlokot with the rabbis. Right? That's really the options that you have. So I want to try to develop a few perspectives. A few perspectives about this. Okay? But let's see. Before I suggest some things, do you want to take a, you know, suggest some directions that the Mefarshim might take on either why the Baitusim have all these machlokot, or specifically the machlokes about the Sfirat HaOmer, or specifically about the Tamid?
Well, I guess these are things, well, I guess specifically about Sfirat HaOmer and Tamid, they're things which affect the Midrash, which make them more public.
Good, so you could definitely just say, look, this is just political and the like.
Also, I believe Sukkim tended to be Kohanim, which means that these are the fights which are going to be more likely.
Okay, right, you could just say they tended to fight in the Beit HaMikdash, for sure. Right, you could take a historical answer. Again, I can't prove it's not right, but what I think here is that there's also, right, Chazal probably have philosophical ideas. So, here, let me take one, which is local, just to the Sfirat HaOmer issue. Because I think there's at least one direction that, at least as a local one, jumps at you. And that's the following. And this is suggested by the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael says as follows. What do we know? What does the Rambam tell you is the fundamental, and the simple pshat in the Avos Dvar Vinasan? What is the fundamental philosophy of the Tzdukim and the Baitusim?
Only Torah.
No. That's their cover story. What's their philosophy?
Pleasure.
Hedonism, exactly. And think about the argument that the Gemara records between Yochanan Zakkai and the Baitusi. The Baitusi says Shavuos has to be Sunday because Moshe wanted us to always have long weekends. Right? That fits. And what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai respond? I mean, maybe God does love the Jews. Maybe Moshe loves the Jews. But that's not the whole story. Right? That's not the whole story. The whole life is not about hedonism and pleasure. Mapidom. So this is the Tveiris Israel, and I'll read it to you. He says, Ubeirin yanze. He said, Shabbos and Yom Tov are for the sake of the Jews enjoying. That's how the Baitusim think. They're hedonists. Oh, Shabbos, I like it. A day off, it's great. So it must be that if you have a holiday, it has to be enjoyable. So it must be a long weekend. Says, now they had a little bit of a trouble because they know that not everything in the Torah is easy, and they don't believe in Mesorah. So they chalked it up to Moshe. Okay, it's Moshe. Okay, interesting. And what did Yochanan Zakkai respond? What are you talking about? The Torah, including what Moshe gives? I mean, yes, it's Latov, right, it's Latov, but he didn't do it when it was against the truth. How do I know? Because when they sinned, they ended up 40 years in the Midbar. So what is this notion of just hedonism? The point of the Torah is to enjoy, no consequences. No, that's not true. There are consequences, things are hard, it's more complicated than this just straight hedonism that you want. So that's the Tiferet Yisrael's argument. That their argument, I mean, Machar HaShabbat, which as the Gemara presented is an argument about long weekends, is this argument about whether, in fact, hedonism is central to this. Similarly, the Migdalot Merkachem, these are all Perushim there in the back of the in the Kafter of Ferach section of the Masifta. He says it slightly differently. Right, he adds a philosophical spin, right? And he connects them, right? The Rambam, remember, says that their philosophy is hedonism, and the mechanism by which they get to hedonism is denying Chazal, right? That's how they do it. So he sort of combines them, and he says, this is what it was. Hine et stukim ayu apikarsim. Vayirotshim shatar titkayim rak kathi ruach hazman. They didn't really believe in the Torah at all. The extent to which they kept the Torah, it was only if it was in line with their philosophy, with the times, right? Because once you don't really believe it, it's about, you know, the Jewish culture that they wanted to develop. There's no grounding in reality. So, Al Kein Hayu Omrim Atzeret Achar Shabbat. And therefore they said, it's on Sunday. Achar Shabbat Himenucha Masakim HaPipkudat HaMimshalah. Because, you know, it's vacation. You know, for the government, based on the government. Right? I think he's polemicizing. I don't know who he is, but I assume he must be living in a world where Sundays are important or something. I don't know. He digs it differently, right? This is clearly polemical. He's saying Sunday was already a day off. And the point is, celebrate a day off when it's easy and you're off from work anyways, right? That's how he's polemicizing. But he's saying their philosophy is essentially to say that there's no metaphysical grounding of Torah. If it works in our times, so great. If it doesn't, too bad. And again, that seems to be a version which is combining the two elements you see in the Rambam. That their driving philosophy is some sort of hedonism, but their cover story is that we don't really believe in Chazal. We follow it, whoever we want. Okay, so that's, I think, one direction to take this. And you'll find different versions of this who focus on the reason that they pick this machlokes, and at least the way the Gemara presents it, as being fundamentally about hedonism and their celebration of enjoyment, as opposed to Chazal's more balanced, more grounded version. Now, there are others who say that no, they take the opposite approach. And they say, no, no, no. They pick this machloket in particular, but not because of the hedonistic side of their philosophy, but because of which side of their philosophy? Their lack of belief in Chazal. Right? And specifically, so for example, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, well, think about it. Svir HaOmer, arguing about Svir HaOmer means that they're really arguing about Shavuot. And if they're really arguing about Shavuot, what does that mean they're arguing about? The nature of Matan Torah. The day of Matan Torah. So he argues that why are they so, right, hung up on this point? Because they don't believe that the Jews have any right, interpretive right, in the Torah. And therefore, what did they want? They wanted for Shavuos to always fall out on the same day, a Sunday. Why? Because Shabbos is determined by God, as opposed to Yom Tov, which is determined by Beit Din. And they couldn't swallow the idea that the day that you get the Torah is determined by human beings. Because human beings have no part in the Torah, right? They rejected specifically Mesorah. They rejected the role of the rabbis. And that's why Svir HaOmer was the one that they picked on. Because How could it be that Svir HaOmer, that Matan Torah, that Shavuot is dependent on when you choose the day? It must be an objective day that God chose. Right? So you could say that their argument about Shavuot either stems from fundamentally their machloket about hedonism, or their machloket about Chazal. And if you look at this, and the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer says something similar. I'll share my screen again. Chassam Sofer says, "Mashamasura baitusim nafsham alatzeret achar Shabbat dafka." Why did they care about this so much? Dilachora chush machish shlo nachok shum chag biyom matan Torateinu. V'chi yitziyat Mitzrayim and Yaakov adifa mimatan Torah. Because it doesn't make sense to say you shouldn't have a holiday for Matan Torah. Iyamar b'shlama macharat yom tov echad shal Pesach nimtza nehi b'torah lo huzkar b'matan Torah el yom b'kurim. Mikol makom m'meila pi cheshbon yera ze b'zman yom m'mei Matan Torah v'zulo tzricha yom tov acher. So for us, it's easy. Because sure, the Torah doesn't tell you that Shavuot is Yom Matan Torah, but we don't have a problem because we calculate it and we believe in Misorah, we believe in things that are not written in the Torah, right? Whatever. So we figure it out. Avol baitusim kasha, the baitusim had a problem. Why? The Ishlomar whole of the Kabbalah Satarai Ba'unes Ukfias Har. Sorry, he takes a different approach. He says, we have no problem with celebrating Matan Torah. Why did they have a problem? Because, this is a very drashy answer, but he says, we believe that the giving of the Torah was coerced. But in the Tanchuma, he quotes the Rishonim, but actually he's a Tanchuma, that the Torah Shebal Peh, the Torah Shebechtav was accepted b'simcha, but the Torah Shebal Peh was coerced. V'im kein, hadra kuchel aduchta, lamal nasi yom deval Torah Shebechtav al kol panim, al kach lelok baitusim, v'am nama machishim Torah Shebal Peh, sri le'akfiya Torah Shebechtav, im kein atzeret achra shabbat breishit ve'ilochi lo kasha kanal. He said, their problem was that we celebrate Shavuot on the day when we accepted Torah Shebal Peh, but they don't believe that that ever happened. And therefore, they can't calculate to that day. So again, the way exactly he gets to it is a bit convoluted, but his argument is essentially that this machloket is specific. You know, I think we could do this in 1 week. If we don't get to every position, it's fine. So here we've seen two different types of answers. One is to say that their machlokes was specific about hedonism. The other is to say it has something to do with they don't believe in authority, they don't want to celebrate Torah Shebal Peh, right? Different variations on touching on that. Rav Kook said, you know, that's not enough for me. And Rav Sklar would be proud of me, okay? I'll tell him later, I base a share on Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, that's not enough. Because that's focusing on one of their machlokot. Except they had many machlokot. What is the organizing principle, or even just the organizing principle in this Gemara, of the Tamid and Omer? So he says here, this is in Shut Mishpat Kohen Kof Chav Dalet. Okay? And he writes as follows. I saw that you tried to suggest why did the tzdukim, he's writing to Rav Meir Dan Plotsky. Okay? So he says, I saw that in the beginning of your book, you wanted, I think he's the Klei Chemda, I think that's the Klei Chemda, I think, but I have to check. I see that you try to understand this machlokes. You can't explain this as one. You want to understand the Tzedukim, or at least as Chazal understand it, you've got to understand their systematic machlokas and how it manifests both in the machloket about the Tamid, is it a Karban Yachid, and in how it manifests in the Omer. Shein b'kedusha Torah shebal peh she ikar abrit shekaran HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael b'shvilah. Their fundamental machlokas was about Torah shebal peh. Right, and then he quotes the Chazal beat them, etc. Umasha ratzu at stukim she yachid yemit nadev umevi tamid. Why did they care so much that an individual should be allowed to bring a karban tamid? Ba mipnei shelahoru sheish bechalut Knesset Yisrael kedusham yuchedet. Mashalo nimtza becholam velashon. What they really didn't believe was that the Jews were unique. Shekol uma ikara kibbutz shela ukedi leitiv layichidim apratiim. Why? Because what is the purpose of a regular nation? Right? Think John Law, or right? Think social contract theory. A nation's purpose is to serve the individual. Right? Individuals agree to collect into a nation because it's in their own best interests. That's the way normal nations are. It's fundamentally a glorified hedonism, is what he's getting at. Right, their purpose, the government, we join together as societies to help ourselves. It's in our own best interests. But the nation, this is very Rifkok. I'm not saying I buy it, but I want to show you methodologically what he says. There's something to it. I don't know if I'm convinced. I don't know if I'm not. But the nation doesn't have like its own metaphysical reality. V'nimtza she'irach hatzibor kalpei umot olam v'bchinat shutfen. The average nation in the world is essentially a big partnership. V'etzal shutfen v'vada yikaru chalko shechol yachid. And in a partnership, each person values his own portion. Shebishutafot haklalit l'gavei oto hayachid. Avol be'emet l'gavei Yisrael, tzibor v'shutfen heim shnei musagim. But in the world of Chazal, these are two separate things. And anyone who's in Hurriot, Usher, you were here. I saw you. We talked about this a little bit today and yesterday. There's a partnership is different from a tzibor, from a right from the nation.
But we also have that idea of the what's the word? Like a corporation.
Exactly, the corporate entity. Right, but in halacha, a shutfus seems to be a partnership of individuals that don't transcend themselves, but it's tzibur. Am Yisrael is a corporate entity. It transcends the individuals. Right? You don't focus on the individuals. It exists beyond the divisions. Ubishvil kach. Karbanot tzibor tzichin liot mishel tzibor dafka. So he says, that explains machloket number one. The Baitusin wanted it to be that the Tamid could be brought by a Yachid. So that even when it's brought by the tzibor, it's just a conglomerate of individuals, but not a corporate entity. Shezeu inyan shel kedusha shel klal kulo. And then he proves it, that the Gemara says that the worry in certain cases is shelo yimtzarem yafeh. Yafeh! I don't want to get into too much, right? That sometimes we're worried that people won't give over their portion with full heart, etc. Aval kevan shezichin dafka kinyan shel tzibor shuklali. The karban tamid needs dafka to be owned by the community. V'tzarach shekol ruchani letzairo. Sorry, v'tzarach secha ruchani letzairo. You need a spiritual knowledge to create it, etc. And that's why we're worried sometimes you won't give it over. Because we need it, that there's no shaykhut to the prat in terms of his individual. But then he says, V'ikar kdusha torah shebal peh, she torah habrit she Yisrael, hum ibnei kdusha haklal, shenikar ba yoter. Remember, b'gzer chazal shorech sheyeh, hagai kulo. He said, but Torah Shebal Peh is typified by this understanding. And what's his proof? That any rabbinic law, he hints at it. He doesn't explain to you what he's saying. But what's found in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vav? the rule that in order for rabbinic law to take effect, what do you need? The acceptance of the people, which means that Dirabbanan, Torah Shebaal Peh, is the part of the Torah that depends on this power of the people as a nation. Umishum kach nemar aloshon kitovim dodecha miyayin arivim ala divrei sofrim yodzim miyayin shel Torah. That's why we say that in a certain sense, Dirabbanan is greater than the Torah, etc. Because it represents the nation as a whole. And he brings a proof for this. Ma she'in kein b'tarsha b'chtav, d'sheikha gam kein b'chalecha b'fnei atzmo. K'mo mitzvah na'vi al atzmo, d'vek tarsha b'chtav, l'gabi didei, etc. As opposed to tarsha b'chtav, which, you know, each person can read the text, but it isn't created by the people. U'mitoch ha'kdusha she'yesh b'chlalu k'neset Yisrael, tshvicha l'yod gam hanagar ha'malchut shela al pi ha'Torah. V'akorach tzarech ha'melech shnei sifrei Torah, k'sanhedrin. And that's why the king is two Sifrei Torah. Because he functions as an individual and as the nation. He has to represent the fact that there's these two levels. And they don't want this double. There is no second level. And he says that this philosophy, right, again, he's trying to meld these. He's saying individualism is fundamentally a function of hedonism. But the Torah Shebaal Peh is the ultimate expression of our collectivism. And therefore, the two things they wanted to argue are, on the Tamid, they wanted to argue it's fundamentally an individual endeavor, not a national one. And they couldn't stand the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is a national endeavor because it implies there's some power to the corporation of Israel rather than the sum of its parts. And he said, that explains philosophically their opposition to having Shavuot depend on Yom Tov rather than Shabbat. Why? Because Shabbat represents, as the Gemara in Beitza says, the Kedusha that God set. The Kviya V'Kaima Kedushata Bidei Shamayim. Yom Tov represents Torah Shebaal Peh because it's what's controlled by people. Because we decide when Rosh Chodesh is. And we decide when Yom Tov is based on Rosh Chodesh. Probably. There is a day on Rabbeinu Chananel that we actually have to separately be Mekadesh Yom Tov. Not for now. That's interesting. Lamdas, you can look at the Rashba and the Ritva. They develop it in Baba Basra, Kuf Chaf Aleph, I want to say. I think Kuf Chaf Aleph, if I could be wrong. But I'll look it up later. Val Pia Emet, Achtu Raklal Novan, Mishar Shek Kedusha Al Yonashi, Kedusha Torah Shebechtav, Shemeshbar Kedusha Torah Shebaal Peh. He said, I'm not saying that they're not united. They really are. In a deeper sense, Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebechtav are obviously related. That's obvious. And Kedushat Yom Tov is Yonek Min Kedushat Shabbat. Meaning, in truth, there is no distinction. The individual and the nation, they both exist. Both levels exist. Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebechtav, Shabbat, V'Yom Tov, all of that exists. That's true. It's just that they denied it. So what he says, right, what he tries to claim is that really these two machlokot are one. But he has a different philosophy of what their philosophy was. He thinks it wasn't as much about hedonism. I mean, it was. But their hedonism led to their belief that the only value of community is insofar as it serves the individual. And therefore, they wanted to deny anything that implied that there might be a transcendent value to community that didn't service the individual. So the way that manifested is one in their rejection of the notion that you could have a communal karban that an individual couldn't bring himself, right? That needed community rather than was just a conglomerate of people. And the second is they had a problem with Torah Shebaal Peh because Torah Shebaal Peh is created by Knesset Yisrael, which implies this transcendence. And therefore they had a problem with saying that Shavuot, which represents Matan Torah, should be connected to the Torah Shebaal Peh aspect of Yomim Tovim rather than the Torah Shebechtav, God aspect of Shabbat. And he said even though in truth they're related, they wanted to reject that entire Kav Chashiva. So again, I don't know if I'm convinced, but methodologically, what Rav Kook is doing that the other Mefarshim that we'd seen so far did not do is to say, it's not just that piecemeal they argued about the Tamid and they argued about Shavuot, but rather they had a coherent theory that led, that guided every type of machlokas. Who drew on the screen? Okay. I mean, you're free to draw on the screen. That's fine. I didn't know you could draw on the screen when I had it. But okay. That's fine. But he says, and that's what he claims, right? So methodologically, what he's doing that everyone else did not do, again, is... is uniting these two, is claiming that the right, that both of these machlokot fundamentally come from their coherent worldview. If you want a slightly a different version, so here from the Shemi Shmuel, they're not people I always quote, but okay, look at the Shemi Shmuel. Says Nira Dato Shalem Nitzachami Miutam. Their mistake came from their essence. Dine Torah Shebal Peh Hinishmatau Pnimiutah Shel Torah Shebichtav Kamuvan. Obviously, the Torah Shebal Peh gets its power from the Torah Shebichtav. Upnimiut Yisrael Hi Torah, and the Jews, their essence is the Torah. Valkarga Tzukin Chenam and Minim BeTorah Shebal Peh Chasra Lahem and Nishmava Pnimiut. So the Tzukin, by denying the Torah, Shabbal Peh, they're missing something in their inner soul. Right, similar to Rav Kook. And he said, since they don't believe in the Torah Shabbal Peh, they don't believe in that essence of the Tzibur. That it can be like one person. Because he said, without that belief in the Torah Shabbal Peh, which is like that organizing spiritual core. This is very Hasidish. But again, methodologically, what he's saying is that these two things are connected, like Rav Kook, that the Yachid, right, their belief in the Yachid Lumat Tzibur is similar and conceptually related to their belief in Torah Shebichtav, but their denial of Torah Shebaal Peh. He says, "Me'achar shebipnimiyot him echad al kach nasu kulam kishechad, v'him shechasru lam pnimiyot i'efshar shi'at Tzibur lefi shitatam kishechad." And therefore, what was their problem? Their problem was the Karban Tamid, right? Because they thought, right? That at best, the Tzibur can only be defined as a bunch of individuals. But they didn't realize, they don't understand the secret of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is that we all have a collected soul, and therefore we're one, and that's why the carbon comes from all of us. I mean that, right, so what Rav Kook says explains both the Tamid and the Omer. The Shemi Shmuel says essentially about the Tamid, though he doesn't quite spell it out, about the how it plays out in terms of the Omer. So, what we've seen, therefore, basically a few approaches, right? One approach is to say their machloket about Sfirat Omer is just about their machloket about hedonism, right? They wanted it to be about a two-day weekend. That's not what it's all about. The other was to say it was about Torah Shebaal Peh, but it was only about Har Sinai, meaning they had arguments about Matan Torah because they have a machloket about the nature of Torah. And then you have those who said, no, if you want to understand their machlokes, you have to find a way that explains both shitot. And then you have Rav Kook, who explicitly makes the connection, and the Shemi Shmuel at least says it by the Tamid, that what they really argue about, because they're hedonists, they believe that the individual cannot be transcended by a community, and therefore they can't believe that the Tamid should be brought by the community and not individuals. And they also believe, therefore, that once you don't believe in the community, you can't really understand the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh, which depends on a belief and a transcendent value of the Jewish people. And therefore, they wanted to attach Yom Tov of Shavuot, of Matan Torah, to Shabbat, which depends simply on when God determined that the world would start, and 7 days for eternity, rather than on Yom Tov, which, at least as Chazal understand it, depends on us determining when Rosh Chodesh is totally in our control. But the Rav Kook's argument is that belief in the power of Tersh Baal Peh depends on a belief in being able to transcend yourself and become of something bigger than yourself, which is hard if you believe in your fundamental value being hedonism. So if you have other ideas which either explain the machloket about the Tamid, or the machloket about Sfirat Omer, or better yet, have... Because I'm not sure I'm convinced by Rav Kook. I do think that if Chazal retell the stories in the way they do together, that at least the story they're trying to tell us is trying to teach us something broader. I don't know if I'm 100% convinced by Rav Kook. I don't know if I'm not. There's definitely something there. So if you think of some other organizing principle that can explain these machlokot, that would be nice. There have been some academic attempts at organizing at least all the machlokot of the Tzdukim, not so much the Baitusim, but all the machlokot of the Tzdukim. I haven't seen a similar attempt for the Baitusim, but there have been attempts to explain all the machlokot of the Tzdukim. I gave you here at number 9 a list of some other mefarshim that... that suggests some directions, the Torah Menachem, the Peri Yisrael. These are all people that are in the back of the Misivta. But for now, I'll leave it there. If you have any other ideas, please feel free to send them to me. Okay. If you want, you know, later I can send you the other two views. But these are, you know, I think main directions to understand the directions you can take in this Agadata.